Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Radio Free Credit Union Show with your hosts, Jason Dias and Troy Hall. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free.
Afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be. My name is Jason Dias, and you are listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show, broadcasting live from the offices of eloquentonline.net and adtracks.org in my office here in beautiful, sunny, hot, humid New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and of course, North and East and South Carolina. His name is Troy Hall. He is the COO of South Carolina Federal Credit Union, in charge of keeping life simplified. Hey, Troy, how is your Friday?
My Friday is shaping up to be a great Friday. It's actually a green Friday because you know today is the release of Green Lantern.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I think people probably are going to want to hear about the link where they can go see an awesome picture of somebody we all know and love, perhaps, who looks a little like the Green Lantern.
I'm just really so excited about it. Why I wanted to talk about it is because my hunky twin brother, Ryan Reynolds, is actually starring in the movie. So I thought maybe, you know, people would want to make that connection. But, you know, you're going to ask, well, why are you talking about Green Lantern when you should be talking about your credit union? And it's because of some really cool things that we're doing with our postings that we can sort of talk about a little bit later in the show about how that actually works using Google Trends to make your stuff work. But the connection that we make today is with the Green Lantern and this new release, keyword release, that we had yesterday, which is called Text Banking, and we're very excited about that.
Oh, well, that sounds like a lot of fun. And today we're talking about 40 years in business with Southwest Airlines and what credit unions can learn from it. And one of the things that they've always done is they've always had fun with what they do. And I know you're a big proponent of that out at South Carolina Federal Credit Union. I know the Simple Sense blog is kind of that, an extension of that fun culture that you guys have cultivated there at South Carolina Federal. So we'll definitely talk about that in just a little bit. I am here in New Braunfels, Texas, although I woke up this morning in Beaumont, Texas, which is 5 hours away. We had an event last night with the Sabine Chapter of Credit Unions out at Beaumont at the MCM Elegante Hotel. I love chapter events. They're almost always at nighttime. They're always very, very intimate. And it was just myself and Scott, who we had on the show last week, and I had to drop him off at the airport in Houston this morning at 6:15, and then I made the yeoman's drive from Houston to New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, in time for the radio program. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool, very cool.
So when we come back from our quick break here, we're going to talk to Kenita Dowry. She is the CFO of Sabine Federal Credit Union and the vice president of the Sabine Chapter of Credit Unions. We're going to check in with her and see how the show went last night, and we're going to do it right after this. All right, you're back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show, where the talk is hot and the hosts are
hotter.
Much, much hotter. Speaking of hot, it is hot in Texas right now. It's hot in New Braunfels, and it is definitely hot in Beaumont. And it was hot last night at the Sabine Chapter of Credit Unions meeting, and we're joined now by Kenita Dowry. Hey, Kenita, how are you doing?
Hi, Jason. I'm doing well.
It is so great to have you on the show.
Well, thanks a lot. I'm happy to be here.
The studio audience is suffering from some heat-related issues, too, so they're not exactly on the ball today. But you were there last night at the MCM Elegante, ballrooms A, B, and C, about 120-some-odd folks. And what did you think of the show last night?
Well, I'll tell you what, you really put on a great performance for us. We enjoyed it thoroughly, and I've gotten nothing but good comments about it from the audience that was there and from my fellow board members on the Sabine Chapter Board. So we were really excited about how it all went last night.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, we love doing that show. We had to have a kind of a modified arrangement last night. We didn't have our violinist there. But something I noticed about the audience last night was that we literally had every generation, with maybe the exception of the millennials. We didn't have anybody under the age of 15 or 16. But from World War II veterans, some of your board members identified themselves as World War II veterans, right on down to Generation Y. And what I loved was that they were all engaged, they were all up dancing, they were all up singing during the sing-along. And you and I talked before the show about how important it is, I think, for people like you and me, Gen Xers, to do our part to bridge the gap, because credit unions are trying so hard to get young people geeked up about the credit union marketplace. But a lot of times when you look at the boards of directors, there's a lot of times a lot of a, how would we say, a chronological chasm in between those two groups. And I thought you did a great job last night of bringing in kind of a high-energy event, and it seemed like everybody enjoyed it.
You know, you're right, and that is a big challenge for putting together any program for a credit union chapter, because typically in credit unions, a lot of times people who have the time and the willingness to volunteer their time to be a board of director or a member of a volunteer committee at the credit union are typically retired people. So the challenge is to engage them, because we so appreciate what they do for credit unions and for, you know, where we've come from, and yet also reach out to the younger generations. And last night was so much fun for me to watch, to actually witness the age groups come together and have a great time. And the way the music came through, and like you said, everybody was on their feet. If you had us dancing and singing, my hat's off to you, because I didn't think it could happen, but it was really a lot of fun.
Well, you know, don't you think that music actually has a way to transcend the age barrier in many respects, as long as the music has a good general feel to it? Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And I think that's something that people can appreciate and can relate to on so many different levels. And it brings people together, and we witnessed that at the meeting last night. It was just really an awesome experience.
Go ahead, Troy.
What I was going to say is what I think I also recognize through the process is it's the act of engagement that actually creates the energy. You use the music as a platform in order to say, okay, we've got something common here that everyone can kind of like get into, but it creates from that this opportunity of engagement. And when people are engaged in something, then there's a lot more energy and activity and stuff associated with it.
That's exactly right. And the participation was just incredible. You know, Jason did a great job of just, you know, kind of easing us into it, and then by the end of the meeting, everyone was on their feet and enjoying it and having a good time, and it didn't matter if you could sing or not sing, or, you know, it was all just a lot of fun.
Well, I know we had a blast. Scott and I had a blast. The food was outstanding. Like I said, I really got started in my speaking career back in the early 2000s doing chapter events. And I love that they're so small and they're intimate. I mean, although 121 people, that's not small. 120, 130 is not a small meeting by any stretch these days. But we've done some events that are really, really big, and you don't really get the same intimacy of meeting people and talking to people. But I want to wish you continued success both at the chapter and at your credit union. Scott and I had an awesome time, and we sure hope we get to go back out there and visit with you guys again sometime down the road.
Well, thank you, and we definitely will have you on our list to return as a guest speaker. So be listening for us to call you again.
All right. Hey, listen, Kenita, you have an awesome weekend out there in beautiful Beaumont, Texas, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Sounds great. Thanks so
Take
much.
Care.
All
Take
right.
care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, Troy, you've said that a couple times to me before. You talk about how music tends to transcend every generation, and you're always so right about that. And it really was very, very encouraging to see people, you know, let's just be honest, there were people in their 70s and 80s there last night standing up and singing and dancing alongside people who are in their 20s.
Yeah, and I think that when the comment I was making about a general venue of music is that sometimes you can get music that's so specific, like if you're into the hard rock or the wiry sounds, you know, it tends to not have a good grounded base. But for me, I think that what the music that we showcased a little bit last week, and I think we've got some examples of it today to show, is that it doesn't matter young or old, and it's not just like I'm medium of the road, so I'm afraid to go one direction or another. It actually is the niche that actually creates the opportunity for the engagement, because in all that we are attempting to do in our marketing through credit unions or through any business is to get people engaged and to be able to talk about the product or talk about the process or to talk about whatever it is that we're doing. So I think that's really what I see, you know, evolving from the guests and the people who spoke and hear and get involved in the shows. I think that's really what it is.
Well, it was a lot of fun, and like South Carolina Federal, our company has always tried to stay on the cutting edge of not just, you know, technology and doing things radically different for the sake of being radically different, but to make things radically better. And I think our big subject today, which is Southwest Airlines celebrating 40 years, was an example of a company that came out and did something radically different. And again, not for the sake of being radical, because they were meeting a need that didn't exist at the time. And they're celebrating 40 years in business this week. And as a professional speaker who has traveled almost exclusively on Southwest Airlines, when we come back from the break, I want to share my thoughts about Southwest and what I think credit unions can learn from them. And I want to get your thoughts on it as well. And I also want to hear more about the Simple Sense blog. And we'll do that right after this. All right, you're back on the Radio Free Credit Union show, where the talk is hot, but the hosts are
hotter,
so much hotter, burning up the summertime months. Jason and Troy, if it's Friday, it's Radio Free. All right, let's talk Southwest Airlines for a second. I saw dozens and dozens of Southwest Airlines jets lined up this morning at Houston Hobby Airport. I saw hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people checking in their bags at no additional cost at the curbside check-in this morning when I dropped off Scott in Houston. And I guess the number one lesson that I think credit unions can learn from Southwest Airlines in terms of current events, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, we had the Durbin Amendment vote, right? The interchange thing was going on.
Right.
Southwest Airlines had to go through a great deal of legislative issues to get where they are today. And the thing that I think Southwest Airlines did brilliantly was that they got their customers involved in advocating for the airline. When they were trying to get the thing in Love Field change, where they could fly point to point out of Love Field, every cocktail napkin you got, every receipt you got, everything you got was talking about how we need to be free to fly the way we want to fly, contact your congressman, all this kind of stuff. And I was watching the tweets and stuff, you know, the people out there on Twitter, as I call them the vocal minority, because we've demonstrated them to be the vocal minority, out there complaining about the Durbin Amendment. 2 points. Number one, go ask 100 members today how they feel about the Durbin Amendment, and you'll get 100 stares in your face like, what are you talking about? And
yep.
If credit unions want to advance their agenda, they need to understand the critical link between the way a congressperson votes and how many constituents care about that issue. And when I'm watching people that I know and respect, Matt Vance, Kelsey Valkaitis, all those Twitter crasher-type people complaining about how the vote went, my reaction at first was, why don't you stop tweeting and go do something about it? Why don't you actually go out there and do something to get people involved? Because honestly, Troy, nobody cared about that. And I think Southwest Airlines did a brilliant job of doing the stuff that they did, advocating behind the scenes with their lobbyists and stuff like that. But man, they got their customers behind their legislative needs, and it was very, very successful for them. And I think credit unions need to take a page out of that playbook.
Yeah, they can. And, you know, the other thing, too, and just, you know, kind of add a little bit to the Durbin Amendment discussion point, because we did a lot of lobbying here locally in South Carolina, but unfortunately one of our senators did not listen to really our voice, because he had his own political agenda that he just really chose to be more important for him. He did not want to vote for the delay because his vote was that we shouldn't have it at all. so that we should do away with it. So he didn't feel that he could vote to delay when his stance was that it wasn't appropriate at all. So instead of voting in a way in which delayed it, which would be more positive, he chose to abstain from, well, not really abstain from voting, but he didn't vote, so he voted against the delay. So in other words, he let it stay as it is, which I thought was so weird that you would even think that way to be able to do it. And the other thing that also, the difference between this Durbin Amendment and the airlines is, it's really how the political world is all wrapped up into it. You know, Dick Durbin, who actually mentioned this, you know, I mean, it's no secret, but, you know, one of his key supporters in his campaign is the Walgreens. And
right.
He is friends with the guy from Walgreens who actually brought the whole thing up and kind of focused on that one specific little item, which allowed this whole thing to morph itself into a whole big mess that we've got going on. And I think the difference sometimes is the Durbin Amendment is too difficult to understand, but the airlines, I get that one. So you see, you also have to realize that sometimes this messaging is what's really important, and if you're not teaching people about it, then you can't expect them to get behind it and call the senators and tell them stuff. It's just strange. So I think
it's a tricky thing because you never know what's going on behind the scenes. But you know, credit unions are inextricably tied to the whims of Congress. When you have a tax-exempt status, that tax-exempt status is conferred on you by the people who hold the purse strings, which is the Congress. And, oh, by the way, they can take it away. So I understand the need to have PACs. And, I mean, every conference I go to, there's a PAC dinner, there's a PAC luncheon. And I have no problem with that. It's America. You can advocate away all the livelong day. But I'm just saying that credit unions could learn from Southwest Airlines to actually get the audience or the members or the owners of the credit unions involved in this. The other thing I think that credit unions can learn from Southwest Airlines is something we kind of talked about a couple weeks back. Southwest Airlines flies one kind of jet, a Boeing 737. They don't have anything else in their inventory. When you know when you get on a Southwest Airlines jet exactly what you're getting on. And we talked a couple weeks back about, is it time to just have one account, one checking account, forget about all these different accounts. To me, Southwest Airlines has proven the value of simplicity. What do you think the best lesson is for credit unions in terms of simplicity?
Well, you know, I'm really glad that you mentioned that and talked about it, because I was going to relate that what we can learn a lot just by taking a look at the way Southwest Airlines branded itself, how it has stayed true to that brand for 40 years, and how it developed a niche in the marketplace by providing a very simplistic way. I mean, their entire brand is all about making it simple and easy. There
right.
isn't anything about it that's complicated. I mean, and they really go after that cost leadership approach. If we were looking back at Michael Porter's three generic strategies for marketing, and for those marketing folks who want to turn quickly in their book and look it up, I mean, there's basically only three strategies. It's called generic because it applies to everybody, but it boils down to, you can either focus on cost leadership, meaning that you're going to lead the pack, or you have cost focus, where you sort of get the low price and then you can put yourself in there, but you don't have to be the low price, and then you can differentiate on your broad or your narrow market. And really, Southwest Airlines has done a fabulous job of being a cost leader and creating a differentiation at the same time. So kudos to them for doing it, and that's what credit unions have to do. We have to start being smarter about how we're going to position ourselves in the market. And the way we positioned ourselves in the market 75 years ago was fine for 75 years ago. But if we don't take into account what's happening today, we are going to miss it.
I totally agree with you. I completely agree. And the other thing I wanted to mention about the crashers and the Twitter sphere, and again, Troy, I have yet to be able to find and summon the courage to do it, but I'm getting very, very close to declaring myself Twitter-free. But it's instructive to watch how people reacted to that. That gentleman, Matt Vance, was out there saying, well, now Congress better enact a law to protect the consumers. There are thousands of laws designed to protect consumers, but it's not supposed to be up to the Congress. The Congress is not supposed to tell businesses how to make a profit or how to lose money. They can figure that stuff out on their own. And the last people you ever want to take advice from on how to run your family or your business's finances is the United States Congress in our contemporary times. That's the last place you want to go for financial advice. But what I thought was interesting, you kind of brought it up, you know, talking about political things. what I think is obvious now, based upon not my opinion necessarily, but based upon the words and tweets of other people, is that there is in fact a political aspect of the credit union marketplace that believes in the movement, that believes in a union. That's one of the reasons Southwest Airlines was looked down upon, because they didn't have a union. There is a Democrat slash liberal mentality out there, and they're free to have that mentality out there, that banks are bad because profit is bad. Well, unless the majority of the people feel that way, and oh, by the way, they don't, especially here in Texas. It came up again last night. Somebody came up to me and said, you know what? We are not a union. A lot of refineries and stuff down in Beaumont, Port Arthur, and that area. So you know what? A lot of times that word union confuses our people, our employees. Oh, you can join the credit union. They're like, well, wait, I thought we couldn't join a union here. And it's that word, but there are some political people out there. They may not admit it. They may not admit it. And the other thing is, you and I invited people like Matt Vance to come on the show. And how are you going to advocate for the credit union marketplace in the Congress and get people geeked up about the credit union, in parentheses, movement, if you won't just come on a radio show like this and talk to guys like us?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway,
Well,
listen, the last thing I want to say about Southwest Airlines, again, that I think credit unions need to take a page out of their playbook. They have something that we often overlook. They have results. 18 years in a row of profitable growth is pretty amazing, given the way the rest of the airline industry has gone. And I think credit unions need to focus more on results and less, we hike the hill. Really? What did it accomplish for you the day of the Durbin Amendment? But you want credit for hiking the hill. Credit unions need to focus on results and stop putting so much emphasis on good intentions. What do you think about that, Tough Talkin' Troy?
I actually think you're right on, and there's a Harvard Business Review article out there that talks about the power of small wins. And if anyone's interested in that, they can send me an email at thall@scfederal.org, and I will send you a copy of it. And basically, I can't even believe this because we've never talked about this before the show, but it is part of a course I'm taking, and that particular business review is focusing on how you are managing results and not so much worrying about some of the other pieces of the puzzle. And it has to do with how you are focusing on motivating your staff and how you can produce results. And realistically, focusing on the results is a great way to do it. And you still take care of people in the process. It's not that whole hard-nosed task only, don't worry about the people. You're still taking care of people if you're focusing on results, but there's a specific formula to go about doing it, and there's a little checklist to look at. And so it's really some good stuff in it.
Well, I agree with you. I love the Harvard Business Review. Well, listen, we got about 7 minutes left on the show. Instead of a regular bump in the musical rotation this week, got a little treat for you. I got a little demo that our master violinist, Nike Van Wyk, knocked up. And what we're going to do is we're going to use this song in concert with some beautiful patriotic images. And for some of our select clients, we're going to put their logo at the front. And on the back end, it's a 90-second – we're not playing all of it today. We're playing just a demo of it – a 90-second rendition of the national anthem on the acoustic violin, and it's going to be your logo on the front. And then at the end, it's going to say, you know, have a happy, safe, and 4th of July from your friends at BAM, you know, South Carolina Federal Credit Union. And so Nick knocked this up, and of course we're going to do another one for Veterans Day, but something you can put on your Facebook page or on your website. – What we're all about this year is we want to add style to your stuff. If you have a Facebook page, you got a website, that's your stuff. Everybody has that stuff now. But we're going to give you some style, and this is a little demo of Nick's rendition of the national anthem. What do you think?
Oh, my gosh. Wasn't that just nice to listen to that? I kind of got into dreamy state. I almost forgot I was doing the show here for
a second.
Well,
when I first heard the full version, I was speechless. We got two versions. We've got that version, which is straight acoustic violin. They're both acoustic, but we have another one where he's added in kind of more of a reverberation and more of an echo, and it's just very, very ethereal, very, very beautiful. And you know what, people? You can put that you're closed on the 4th of July on your Facebook page or on your website, and that's great. But the fact is, most people know that you're closed on the 4th of July, and it's a Monday. But for the people that we do this for that whole weekend, because the 4th of July is on a Monday, people are not going to share with their friends and family in the military the fact that you're closed on the 4th of July. They are going to share this beautiful video that takes a beautiful pictorial look at America and the 4th of July and that patriotic vibe that you get. Style is more important than your stuff, and we are very, very good at style. Now, speaking of style, Troy, you're a guy with a lot of style. Tell us about the Simple Sense blog.
Well, one of the things that we've been doing is trying to keep up with the trends. So we are doing a little experiment, and so I'm kind of spearheading that experiment here. And I now post on Fridays instead of Thursdays. And what I do is I go out to Google Trends and find out what are the most searched words. So nice for Google to tell us that. And I then incorporate that information into the blog. And I have to do it within the first 140 characters because the system is so set up technology-wise to just simply drive information from this blog to the website to Twitter to these other places that it just automatically feeds to. And so we've been using not only these searched words but hashtags that are ways in which you can group conversations together so that our conversation would be grouped with anyone else. So this particular week, it's What's Up Green Lantern. And so we hashtag Green Lantern because, as you know, it's the movie launch of that. And one of the things that I did is I tried to make a connection between those hashtag words and then something relevant to the credit union while still being personal so that people can try to make a connection to it. Because we are all about this whole relationship gathering aspect for member acquisition. It starts with the relationship, it goes to service, and then to product. It does not go backwards. And so part of this whole process is our big laboratory experiment on how it's working. So
people join the show all the time. So when you say we, you're talking about you, South Carolina Federal Credit Union. And
if you
want to see a beautiful website, if you want to know what your, and I hate even calling it a website, it's your online branch. It's not a website. If you want to see what an online branch is supposed to look like in the tablet economy, in the tablet marketplace of the future, go check out Troy's site. And also, what is the website for the Simple Sense blog?
It is simplesenseblog.org.
And Simple Sense is in like dollars and cents, C-E-N-T-S.
C-E-N-T-S, S-I-M-P-L-E-C-E-N-T-S, blog.org.
Nice.
And that will take you there. And you'll see a beautiful photo of me as the Green Lantern.
I can't wait, folks. I cannot wait to see this. Yeah, Troy told me about this just before the show, and When I have the board up and running, it eats a lot of my bandwidth, and I'm doing this wirelessly today, which always makes me nervous. And for those of you that heard the National Anthem demo, you're not going to hear some of those clicks and stuff when you actually hear this. That's just the radio show. We're going out on Skype, and we're sharing the Skype connection with about 20 million other people around the world. So I haven't seen it yet. So I'm actually excited about the end of the show because I cannot wait to go look at that picture of you as the Green Lantern because that's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. And the other thing I wanted to also tell you, too, is from the app conversation from last week, we have gained some traction about that here. And we sort of began to create a whole conversation around making sure that we are ready for the changes in how people might approach the Internet and the website looking and start looking at more app. And so the little tip I'm going to throw out there for credit unions who are listening and thinking about the app world and whether they should get in it or not is we have moved away from the conversation of just focusing on the app for the mobile banking process or being able to link to your accounts and have actually began focusing on apps that can put us into the position that people will look to us to answer questions. One of our second differentiators in the market is information and education. We have a tremendous financial literacy initiative that we do at the credit union. We have received many state and national awards, actually, for our education and our training. And so as a result of that, we really are now engaging ourselves in this whole world of apps and saying, well, you know, we could actually create an information app that would be much less expensive than trying to hook up with the other portion of the app, and it will allow us to then be more accessible into the Android market as well as to the iPhone market. And the reason why that's important is that we talk about apps for iPhone, but the Android market is supposed to surpass the iPhone, and that's what we're hearing and seeing in TrendWise, so we're just trying not to get ourselves wrapped too tightly into one area or another.
Well, before we get out of here for the weekend, first of all, Troy, have a great weekend. Kenita Dougherty, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for having us out in Beaumont last night. On behalf of Scott and myself, please tell all your crew out there in Beaumont, Orange area of Texas, thank you so much. And I told the audience this last night. I said, how many of y'all have grandkids? A lot of people put their hands up. I said, how many of you have grandkids in elementary school age? A lot of people put their hands up. I said, those people will probably never visit your website because you probably won't have one when we get there. And we'll have to continue this app conversation on a future show because it is the end, at the bottom of the hour. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free. Troy, thank you so much for everything. I'm going to go check out that picture of you right now.
Okay, and I'm going to end with my very closing rhyme that I made up. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay, in the brightness of day, in the blackest of night, no new technology will escape my sight. Let those who want mobile text jump for joy. You heard it here from Tough Talking Troy.
I can't top that. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.